All right, go ahead and get your Bibles out tonight and just keep your seat and turn to Colossians chapter 2, Colossians chapter 2, and we will be covering verses 11 to 15. You know, on Wednesday nights, we are going verse by verse through the book of Colossians, and tonight we're going to be going through verses 11 through 15, and I'm going to be teaching you about spiritual circumcision and spiritual baptism. Now, many of you have heard this a long time ago. I know Brother Leonard taught it. He taught many of you that, maybe in the Bible college, maybe when you were at some of you at Trinity, he taught you. I know Brother Jeremy taught it here, and many of you's already heard this, and you know it. I don't know that I'm going to say anything that maybe some of you haven't heard, but we also have some new people here that maybe you've never heard this. You've never been taught this. And it's a very important doctrine. Spiritual circumcision is a very important doctrine because I believe that spiritual circumcision is one of the best arguments for eternal security of the believer. And so what I'm going to ask you to do is this, is I'm going to have to give you a lot of references tonight, and I want to keep it just in regular time. You know, I try to get you out here by the hour on Wednesday nights as close to it as we can because I know many of you have to work and you got youngins that go to school the next day and all that kind of stuff. So you might want to get a piece of paper and write down some of these references I give you as we go through this tonight. But we'll begin reading at verse number 11. "And whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." Brother Roger Bell, would you pray for this Bible study and we'll get going. Yes. Yes. Yes, we do. Yes. Yes. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. Yes. Yes. Amen. All right, we'll look at verse number 11. It says, "In whom also ye are circumcised." So the spiritual circumcision, the first thing I want you to understand as we begin to explain this and take it verse by verse and sentence by sentence, and some of you may want to go back and watch this again or relook at it again if you've never heard this taught, but it's a very important doctrine and you need to try to get a hold of it. "In whom also ye are circumcised." So it's done by Christ. And matter of fact, in the same verse, it's called the circumcision of Christ. So spiritual circumcision is done by Christ. He is the one that does the circumcising. Spiritual circumcision is made without hands, it says. Circumcision made without hands in verse number 11. Now, of course, you know that physical circumcision is performed with physical tools, and it's performed with hands. And in the Bible, you remember that the children of Israel, on the eighth day, that's when they would take the male child and perform the circumcision. And they had a certain reason for doing that, and I don't have time to go into that tonight, but that's what they would do. But spiritual circumcision is different. Obviously, physical circumcision has to do with doing something on the outside, but spiritual circumcision has to do with some cutting away. Stay with me tonight, because I know some of this may be a little confusing to some of you, but spiritual circumcision has something to do with cutting away on the inside. What is spiritual circumcision? Well, the verse tells you, notice what it says, it's the putting off the body of sins of the flesh. Notice what it says there in verse number 11. In putting off the body of sins of the flesh, how? By the circumcision of Christ. So this is what you want to understand. Before salvation, a man's soul is stuck to his fleshy body. Matter of fact, the Bible says that you and I are, and the phrase is this, we are in the flesh before we are saved. Romans chapter 8, here's my first verse if you want to write it down or revisit it sometime. Romans chapter 8, verses 8 and 9. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, that's capital S, in the Holy Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. And we know that the Spirit of God dwells in every born-again believer. And it says, now if any man have not the Spirit, capital S, of Christ, he is none of his. So we are in the flesh. Our soul is connected to the flesh before a man or a woman gets saved. And here's the thing. In the Old Testament, the person's soul is spoken of as his body because, listen, they are connected. Just a few references. I got several, but I'll just give you a few. Genesis 12:13. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with thee for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. Well, she's talking about her whole body and everything, but the way the word soul is implied is it's talking about everything, not just their soul, their body too. Genesis 19:20. Behold now, Genesis 19:20, in case you want to write that down. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. Talking about her, the person's whole body, the whole soul, everything, because it's all connected. Stay with me. I'm going to make sense of this. Let's jump down and get one that's real clear. If you don't write any of the other ones down, maybe you want to write this one down. Leviticus 7, verses 18 and 20. Leviticus 7, verses 18 and 20. And if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings be eaten at all on the third day, it shall not be accepted. Neither shall it be imputed unto him that offereth it. It shall be an abomination. Listen, and the soul that eateth of it shall bear its iniquity. Nobody's soul eats anything. You eat with your mouth. It goes in your stomach. It comes out of your colon. That's all your body. But he says your soul's eating that. Notice what else is said. But the soul that eateth the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offerings that pertaineth to the Lord, and the soul that eateth of it shall bear his iniquity. But the soul that eateth of the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offerings that pertaineth unto the Lord, having his uncleanness upon him, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. He didn't say just your soul is going to be cut off from the people. Your whole body, your whole existence is cut off from the people. Your soul's not eating meat, it's your body. But listen, your soul and your body in the Old Testament is connected together. And when those Old Testament saints died with Old Testament salvation, their soul and their body was still connected because they didn't have the born again experience that we do in the New Testament. And that born again experience is what makes the spiritual circumcision that Christ does, where our body is cut away from our soul. And now what I do in my body cannot contaminate my soul. And that is one of the greatest arguments. If you could ever get some of these charismatics to sit down long enough and be quiet and explain it to them, one of the greatest arguments for eternal security of the believer there is spiritual circumcision. When Adam sinned, listen to me, folks. When Adam sinned, his spirit died. He said, on the day you eat, you shall die. Now, his flesh died later on, but that day, Adam's spirit died when he partook of the fruit. And what it appears is that now, or since then, our soul is connected to our rotten, dying, unredeemed flesh. Listen, folks, you got to get this. Your flesh is not saved. How many of you understand that? Your flesh is not saved. That is why Paul said, and this is a good verse you might want to write down and revisit, Romans 7:18. He says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." Now, why would Paul, who had the Spirit of Christ indwelling him and living inside of him, why would he say, "In me dwells no good thing"? He clarifies it. He says, "In my flesh is no good thing," even though the Spirit of God lives within me. Why? Because a spiritual circumcision has been performed the moment you get saved. And your body is no longer connected to your soul and your spirit. That's why when I die, listen, when I die, that Bible says to be absent from the body is to be what, church? Present with the Lord. The body stays. It's unredeemed. It's going to be maggot food. And I'm glad it is, because my body ain't that great. Hallelujah. I'm going to get a new body fashioned after his. That's why the body stays and my soul goes, because my soul is no longer connected to my body. And I leave out of here. And that's why in the Old Testament, man, you better be careful. You better walk a straight line, because what you touched and what you tasted and what you did was connected to your soul. And the reason I can have eternal security and you have eternal security is that my soul is sealed by the Holy Ghost of God until the day of redemption. And whatever I do in my flesh cannot and will not affect my salvation. That will make somebody shout even on this cold night. If you get some charismatics to understand that doctrine, they can understand why we have eternal security right now in the church age. And the thing you need to understand, it's funny that a lot of Baptists don't understand this, but it's still true whether they do or not. Nobody's born again in the Old Testament. You can find a born again person in the Old Testament with a magnifying glass. John the Baptist wasn't even born again. Amen. That's why they didn't even go to heaven when they died. The Bible says they go down to the heart of the earth. They're in a place called paradise. When Christ dies on the cross, he goes down there. The Bible says he leads captivity captive, and paradise is removed and put up into the third heaven. But they can't even go to heaven. Why? Because the Bible says it's impossible for the blood of goats and bulls to take away sin. And Jesus Christ has to die and shed his blood to take away the sin. Then the Old Testament saints, after he shed his blood to redeem them of their sin, then they can go into heaven. But they were not born again like us. And any Baptist preacher that tells you that is teaching false doctrine. And I don't care how big of a fundamentalist he is. He's fundamentally wrong. Amen. And before somebody gets blowed up in here like a bullfrog, check me out. Get your Bible and show me where they're born again. Show me one thing that even leans toward that. You can't. You just saw Scofield's note back yonder somewhere where a fella's looking forward to a cross and blah, 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 and you believed all that. Scofield was wrong. Everybody all right? Some of you look, many of you are smiling and happy. Some of you look like you're about to throw up in your mouth, man. Listen, this thing is to help you. It's to make you feel better. I don't have to worry about going to hell. Praise God, man. Praise God. My flesh is still pretty strong. So even though Christ dwells in you and he dwells in us if we're saved, I believe that the soul has a bodily shape. The real you is your soul, and it has a bodily shape. And when you are born again, that soul is cut loose from your body, and your spirit is joined to Christ's spirit. That's what it says. This is another verse you might want to write down. 1 Corinthians 6:17. "But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." I'm in him, Christ is in me, I'm in him, I'm in the body, I'm part of the body. He's not going to deny himself. And you say, how does a man get born again and experience that spiritual circumcision? And then we're going to look at the spiritual baptism in the next verse. When a man trusts Christ and he puts his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ performs a spiritual circumcision and cuts that man's body where it has nothing to do with his soul anymore. And his spirit is made alive. The Bible says, until we are saved, we are dead in our trespasses and sin. What is dead? Our spirit's dead. And the only thing that can make our spirit alive is to be born again. Listen, when you and I get born again, you know what part of us gets born again? It's our spirit in our soul that is cut loose from our flesh. Your flesh does not get born again. It's your spirit. Listen to what he said. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, listen now, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, notice, except a man be born of water, number one, a physical birth, and of the Spirit, capital S, a spiritual birth, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Notice what he says. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's a physical birth. That which is born of the capital S, spirit, is spirit, little s. The Holy Spirit borns again your spirit, and your spirit is made alive again by the new birth when you and I get saved. Hallelujah. And my flesh is cut away. So nothing I do in my flesh can have any bearing on my eternity of my soul. That's one of the greatest arguments of eternal security there is, if we can just get a hold of it. You see this verse demonstrated again in Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. But Romans chapter 2, 28. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, listen, which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. It's real clear and plain, and just because a bunch of college professors ain't got enough sense to see it, because they got, as Dr. Adams said about their Greekitis, Don't mean a thing to me. The Bible's right and they're all wrong. Amen. And you and I have something the Old Testament saints did not have. That's why we had eternal security and they didn't. They didn't have the same thing we have. I felt you balk at that, because that's not supposedly good Baptist doctrine. You've heard me long enough now. You know I don't really care what good Baptist doctrine is. Could care less. I care about what this book teaches. That Bible is plain as day. It tells you that if a man turns from his righteousness and dies in his sins, the Bible says, and you look at the only place that thing shows up there in the Old Testament, New Testament, a fella dying in his sins is a fella going to hell. That Bible says over there in the book of Ezekiel, if he turns from his righteousness and begins to commit unrighteousness, his righteousness is no more remembered. Ain't that what it says? That's a fella that was doing right, and he starts doing wrong, and he winds up in hell. Listen, if I don't never hit a lick at it again, if I walk out of here tonight and I don't never do right again, I'll be bankrupt at the judgment seat of Christ, but I'm not going to hell. And you're not either. That ought to help somebody. It helps me. Now you get to verse number 12. He's talking about this spiritual baptism. Verse number 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of the dead, who hath raised him from the dead. This is speaking of a spiritual baptism. This is not speaking of the believer's baptism that we do once a fella gets saved or a lady gets saved, where we show them a picture of the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. They make a public profession. When you and I are born again, when we come to Christ and we're born again, the Holy Spirit baptizes us or immerses us into the body of Christ. We are baptized into His Spirit. We become His body. He does that once we get saved. Listen to me, church. It has nothing to do with anybody speaking in tongues or rolling around and flopping around on the floor. You understand? The baptism of the Holy Ghost has nothing to do with anybody speaking in tongues, rolling around, or flopping around on the floor. Tongues, this thing that the charismatics teach, that tongues is the initial evidence of speaking in tongues is the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's nuts. The gift of tongues was a gift given to the church at that particular time, and everybody that wanted it couldn't even get it. It was just given to who God and whoever God gave it to. And that thing was for the Jews, because the Bible says the Jews require a sign, and it had nothing to do with being baptized with the Holy Ghost. That's why Romans chapter 8, verse number 9 says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you." Listen, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, he is none of his. You're not even saved if the Holy Spirit ain't within you. But I do have the Holy Spirit within me. Listen, I have the Holy Spirit within me because when I got saved, He baptized me into His body. And the Bible says He redeemed me, that He sealed me. I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit, and you are too, until the day of redemption. And He's never going to leave me nor forsake me. And it's got nothing to do with somebody flopping around on the floor acting crazy. Everybody all right with that? You understand that? That Bible says in Ephesians 4:4, there is one body and one Spirit, capital S again, Holy Spirit, even as you are called into one hope of your calling. One body, one Spirit. When you get saved, listen, that's spiritual baptism. Spiritual baptism is my spirit is born again when I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And my spirit that is dead is now made alive. There's a spiritual circumcision taking place when I trust Christ and I get born again. Now my body is cut loose from my soul, and my body cannot affect my sin my soul anymore. And you say, what is the process where the Christian is immersed into Jesus Christ at salvation and becomes a partaker of eternal life? It happens in a threefold process. It's a crucifixion of it that you're talking about here. Galatians 2:20 says, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." I am crucified with Christ. I died with Christ. That body was cut away. Listen, my spirit was made alive, but I died with Christ. Just like he died on the cross, just like he was buried, I'm buried with him in baptism. That's what that baptism symbolizes, by the way. The old man going down and dying and the new man coming back to life. You're a new man. You're a new creature in Christ. That's why this sprinkling business ain't never going to cut it. You can't drown nobody by dropping little drops on them. You drown them by submerging them and then going completely under. And then it's the resurrection. See, it's the same thing, crucifixion, burial, resurrection. That's Romans 6:4. "Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism." Listen, and this is a spiritual baptism. This is not talking about water. It's spiritual baptism. You'll see why. "We are buried with him by baptism into death." Listen, "that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father," he was, "even so we also should walk in newness of life." Now see, that tells you right there that that's not talking about a physical resurrection that we're all going to experience one day at the rapture. People are going to come out of the graves or after we die. That's talking about a spiritual resurrection, because he says you're buried with him by baptism into death, and he was raised up, and you're to be raised up also to walk. You're raised up spiritually. It's a spiritual baptism so that you can walk or live for the Lord Jesus Christ right now here on the earth. And this is done, according to the verse, by the operation of God. When they cut your skin off in the hospital now, there's somebody with hands and somebody with tools. But this operation is performed by God, this spiritual baptism. this spiritual circumcision. And the same one that raised Christ from the dead is going to raise us up from the dead. And we've already had our spirit raised from the dead, and one day our body, when we die, is going to come up from the dead. Hallelujah. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Again, when we are lost, our spirit is dead, and we, our body, is connected to our sins. That's why it talks about the uncircumcision of your flesh. It's still there. It's still connected. And that's referring to your body still being attached to your soul. But then we're quickened. What does the word quickened mean? The word quickened means to be made alive. Any of you ever seen that old Western, the quick and the dead? That means the alive and the dead. I hate to admit that I like spaghetti Westerns and Clint Eastwood and all that. All I can say is pray for me. That's the part that's been cut away from my soul. Amen. But that's the quick and the dead right there, brother. Amen. Christ is in you, and I'm in Christ when we get saved, and you're part of the body, and he has forgiven us of all our sins. That's what he says, having forgiven us all of our trespasses. And notice what it says in verse number 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way. Notice what he says, church, nailing it to his cross. When you and I are born again, all of the ordinances, and that's God's law that were against us. Listen, I don't know if you know this or not, but if you've ever read that Bible much, there's a bunch of do nots, thou shalt not. And you know why people won't read the Bible? People won't read the Bible because the Bible reveals to them what they really are. And you know, listen, the law can't help nobody, but I tell you what it can do. It can condemn you. And that's what that law does. Every time I read it and it says, don't do this, you need to do this, stop doing this, you shouldn't do this, this is wrong, that's wrong. All that law, that's the ordinances that are written against me and saying, guilty, 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 guilty on all counts, heading straight for hell. But when I was born again and when you were born again, he took that all out of the way. And the Bible says he nailed it to his cross. And that guilty verdict against us dies there with him, because his blood is able to cover all. I like that verse in Romans. It said where sin did abound. What does it say, church? Grace did much more abound. Hallelujah. Amen. I sure am pleased about that. He's redeemed us according to Galatians 3:13 from the curse of the law being made a curse for us. And I thank the Lord. In verse number 15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. As I heard a preacher say, when Christ is on the cross and the crucifixion is taking place, that is what you call the arena of faith. And there he publicly, listen, this is what our Savior did. I want to end on a good note here. He publicly triumphed over the devil, over the devil's angels, over those principalities, over those wicked powers. He publicly triumphed. When he said, it is finished, and he gave up the ghost, and God was watching it, man was watching it, the whole world was watching him. He won the victory. Victory was won at Calvary. Boy, that's a good old song. And that's exactly what he did. And it says he spoiled them. He ruined them. He robbed them. He robbed them. He robbed the devil of the victory. He robbed the principalities and the powers. Listen, you know what's happening right now? Some of you that's been in war, some of you that's had to fight in war, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes the war is already over, but battles keep going on before they get everybody the information that the war is over. And you know what? You and I may be fighting in some battles, and we may be getting injured in some battles. We may lose some battles. But the war was won 2,000 years ago. And if you're in Christ, you and I are going to make it out. I'm telling you, someday, bless God, there's a heavenly chopper coming down in a hot LZ, and it's going to take on fire, and I'm going to get on that chopper, and I'm leaving here forever. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. I'm going, and you're going too if you're saved. Now I may go limbless. I may have to carry shrapnel around in my back for years. I may have to carry the marks of Christ, like Paul's talking about. But I'm getting taken out of here one day. You know why? Because the victory's already been won. The devil and them just ain't got the news yet. Amen. We have Christ living in us, and he can. Listen, Jesus Christ can, and he will empower us to live the Christian life. And listen here, church, when you and I fail to live the Christian life, as we often do, mine and your soul is not affected by our sinful body. Hallelujah, glory to God. That's why one of the greatest truths you can ever get a hold of is spiritual circumcision, to understand why we as New Testament believers have eternal security. That once I'm saved and put into the body of Christ, I am saved and sealed forever. And if you're saved, you're going to heaven and you're going to be saved. When you got saved forever. Now, if some of you has never heard this before, or this is the first time of the teaching, I invite you to go back when this thing's posted on Facebook and YouTube or wherever else it goes. Go back and look at it again. Look at these references. Listen to it again. And some of you that already knew it, maybe some of you sitting in here, you knew this years and years ago, you ought to just jump up and rejoice tonight. Amen. Even if it is cold. Amen. That's a blessing, ain't it? All right.